Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but doesn't know where to start. This is episode 111. What a number.
Oh, 111.
The, what did you call it? Angelic
angel
number?
Yeah.
Angel number?
Uh-huh.
Because we're angels.
We are. We're absolute saints.
Yeah. So for this episode, we watched The Lady Vanishes, an Alfred Hitchcock flick from 1938.
We sure
did. Very British movie.
Very British.
Maybe Hitchcock at his most British. Who's to say?
Maybe too British.
Too British. So we'll get into that in a second. But before we do that, how is your week been? We recorded the last one not too long ago, but it's still been a pretty eventful time, at least for me.
Me too. This was technically my finals week. And it was harder than I had anticipated it being. Mm. I kind of, at the end of last week, I was like, I'm done with the semester. Like, I'm checked out, like classes are over, whatever. But I had one more paper and one take-home exam that were due Thursday and then also yesterday. And they were so hard. And I was like, this is so unfair. So I honestly spent a lot of this week just working on both of them, kind of off and on. And then I would take breaks and I finished my crochet blanket. Go, Addie.
Good job, Addie.
I started another one. After I finished my first crochet blanket, I was like, I honestly got so fast at this and I have so much yarn left that I think I could just whip up another one in like a week and a half.
Speed
round, just another one just for funsies. So that's, I've been doing that in between working on my stuff. But now I really am officially completely done
actually
for the semester.
Done.
I'm actually on summer break.
Incredible.
Today is my first day of summer and I have spent it deep cleaning my house because I feel like I won't be able to fully relax until that is done. You know, I want to be in like full summer mode.
I see.
Have these like looming chores. So I started them today. I also planted my garden today. So nice. That's really exciting. Yeah. I have been growing some seeds inside and a lot of them are ready to be transferred outside. So I did that today. So yeah, it's been a really productive first day of summer and I'm throwing a little party at my house tonight. And then tomorrow I'm going to probably sleep the whole day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's summer mode. It's all happening. It's all coming together.
I'm happy.
No concussion.
I'm fully recovered from the concussion.
Incredible.
Things are looking up.
Things are looking up. I'm having a blast.
Good.
I have more cleaning to do around my abode. But this weekend, I'm in the Dirty Springs for a fun-filled weekend. My friend is having a grad party at his parents' house tonight, so I'll be there. I went to the concert on Tuesday, and it lived up to all the hype that I had for it. It was awesome. I've seen Carsey Headrest 3 times now, and they've all been up there for like my favorite concert I've ever been to. So.
Are they the only band you've seen 3 times?
No, I've also seen Broncho 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to see them a 4th time in a couple of weeks. So.
Whoa.
But I
next
think-
month, I'm seeing Glass Animals at Red Rocks, and then they will become the first band
for
3 times.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Richie Mitch and the Coal Miners twice.
I have as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're from Colorado Springs. They're from right here in the Dirty Springs.
Whoa. I've also seen Black Keys twice.
Nice.
I think that's my only other one.
I've seen a few twice, like a good amount, but I don't. But I just wanted to say that Mitch Cutts follows the Daily. At least at one point he did.
That's extremely cool.
Yeah, I thought so. I went to that show on Tuesday and then I worked a lot. I cleaned all the floors in the lobby of the Cold Stone Creamery.
I did
that yesterday. And then today I got to play some pickleball, which is my favorite sport. I'm a pickleball champ.
That rocks.
Not really, but I have it. I'm pretty good, I got to say. But I haven't been able to play, I think, since before I left for Prague. And I just got back from that. So it's been a while. there was some people there that I played with. Because I went with my parents, and they're not very good. But there are some guys playing there. There are three of them, so they needed a fourth. So I got to get some good practice in. I was humbled a little bit, but I held my own. I did pretty good for not having played for a solid 8.
Yeah, good for you.
I hope I get to play lots of pickleball because there's not a whole lot in Boulder.
I need to find a summer sport. I feel like that would be so good for me. I kind of recently decided I want to be a rock climber. The only
that's thing that's popular in Boulder.
It's popular here in Fort Collins too.
Yeah.
But I have long fingernails that I really don't want to cut. They're so beautiful. That's genuinely the only problem.
That's crazy.
I like my fingernails and I don't want to break them off. But last night, my boyfriend had his he's a rock climber and he did a league at his climbing gym. And competitive rock climbing. Cool. Yeah. And he won first place. And I went saw his final tournament last night and it looked so freaking fun. And I was like, damn, I want to be a rock climber. I might even cut my fingernails for this.
Did he win a trophy?
He did.
That's cool.
It's not a trophy. It's a plaque.
It's a rock.
It's a plaque that has a rock climbing grip thingy in it.
Cool.
It's really cute. And then somebody wood carved first place on it. It's really cute.
Nice. I love that. That's awesome.
I was very thrilled for him.
I think that's about it for me for this week.
Me too.
It's been a good week. It's been a solid 4 days since you.
Yeah, I agree. It's been really productive and I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Happy summer break.
Yeah, yeah. Happy summer break.
Thank you.
It's good to be summer. I need to figure out what I'm doing for summer though. Cause I when I'm not, I'm working a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not working, I just kind of hang about.
Yeah.
I need to start writing more and that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'll get to it. We're working on it.
Yeah.
Cool. So we didn't have any mailbag submissions this week, but I wanted to talk about the Northmen because my thoughts on it are fresh now. I don't want to wait. I have enough to talk about. I've been watching lots of movies, so I have enough to talk about at the end of the month. So I want to get into that now while my thoughts are still fresh. I thought it was great.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was wonderful. I gave it a solid 8 out of 10.
Okay. Where does it rank among the other Robert Eggers movies to you?
I've only seen The Lighthouse.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen The Witch still. Yeah, one of these days, I'll watch it.
You would really like it. It is so good.
I'm sure I would. But no, I thought it was good. I think, to me, it felt like it was attached to this kind of revenge subgenre thing. So looking at it through that framework, I think it did a lot of really cool stuff. And still remained unique while still kind of fitting in to that kind of mold. I don't know. I just thought it was very well done. But yeah, not as good as The Lighthouse, but
not even kind of as good as The Lighthouse.
But well, I think what it was is that it was just trying to be a different type of movie, and I think it did well for what it was.
I agree that it was trying to be a different type of movie, and I don't think it did well. I don't know. It just fell apart for me. At first it was this is just, your classic Hamlet type of revenge driven story. That's cool with me. I'll just get on board. And then it totally switched gears to be this big twist and this whole what is fate? What is my perception of these types of things? Where am I going to go from here? Having discovered all this new information that changes the course of everything. And then ultimately it didn't change the course of anything. It just sort of was he had this chance to sort of become a new person and was like, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, but that's the point.
I don't like it though. I
thought it was good because you can't escape the fate. You could watch it and intellectually you're like, yeah, he has such a good setup here. He should just ride his boat away and start his
new life. For sure.
But I thought the conclusion was satisfying because it kind of closed the loop. And I think what it is that I think this the Robert Eggers trademark over anything else is just in his movies, he presents the vibe of if they were making a movie at this specific time and place, what it would actually be like. And I still felt that for this one, because I think there's so much of the importance is put on like these rituals stuff. Mm-hmm. And like these, it was hyped up, like it was his fate to do this and he can't escape that in the end, even though he has an opportunity to. And it kind of just, I took it as like the thesis statement to be like, this is what Vikings were like. This is what was mm-hmm. important. And I think it did well in that regard. And so, yeah, I really liked it. But I see what you mean, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's more of just like a personal critique. It's not really like objective. I just didn't really vibe with it, I guess. I don't know. And also, I thought it was just kind of paced badly. Like there were certain parts that just really dragged on. It felt like an extremely long movie to me. And then the end kind of just like hits you out of nowhere. And I don't know. Maybe I should give it another chance, because there definitely were, there's a lot that I really, really liked. I really did love like the emphasis on the ritual stuff and the kind of like premonition magic-y types of things. I loved all of that. And I thought it was a weird movie, which I love. Like that's what I love the most about Robert Eggers movies, is how just absolutely bizarre they get. And this one still did that. So I don't know. I didn't hate it, but it just like storyline wise didn't do it for me.
I see.
Especially not compared to The Witch and The Lighthouse, but maybe I shouldn't be comparing them.
I gotcha. Yeah. I think I do agree that it slowed down when he was back at the farm or whatever.
Slowed down immensely during that part.
That got a little bit too slow. I thought the coolest scene was when he got the sword from the skeleton looking guy.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
I really did like that too. I also really felt like Anya Taylor-Joy's character was like really underutilized.
I agree.
She just really mentions that she's super smart and can break men's minds. And then I felt like they could have done a lot more with that. She has the kind of like the montage where she's helping the main dude convince everybody that there's like a demon in the farm, but really it's them. But that was probably my favorite part of the movie, was that whole everything that they did. And I wish that there was more of that. It just wasn't quite enough.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, certain sections I felt a little off, but I think at the end of the day, I thought it was a great blockbuster movie, because it's a big step up in like budget and stuff.
Yeah.
And, when I went and saw this, it was like a packed house, which I hadn't. This is the first movie that I've been in a packed house.
Yeah.
For like since COVID, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like
packed for Everything Everywhere All at Once when I saw that one.
I gotcha. Yeah, and there's like these old ladies there. They had a blast with it, which I thought was cool.
That's cute.
But like, I don't know. I think this is the kind of movie that I want to see with big. I'm just glad that it got made. That a studio. Apparently, there was like some like meddling with Eggers' vision or whatever. But
I think feel like it could have been. It just would have been even stranger and even more unique if it hadn't been like targeted or like marketed as blockbuster, you know, or somebody hadn't meddled with it. It felt like it got too, I don't know, studio, too mainstream or something to me.
That's fair. But at the same time, I kind of agree and kind of disagree, because I would much prefer something like this other than, I'm trying to think of a good example, but like, I have a good example. We didn't really like Nomadland that much, but the director of Nomadland got pipped to do a Marvel movie next. Mm. Like, I prefer something like this, where it's still clearly a Roger Eggers movie, just with bigger budget, rather than, you know, getting art house success and then turning straight towards the money and like.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that.
So I like that it was in that direction, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. But yeah, not as good as The Lighthouse. And one of these days I'll see.
Oh, you have to. The Witch. Still my number one.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I didn't, you know, like dislike Northman. I think I gave it a 7 out of 10, and I'd stand by that. But like The Lighthouse and The Witch are both 10 out of 10s to me.
I gotcha.
A little bit of a bummer.
I gotcha. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that, because I wouldn't have remembered like all my little thoughts about it by the end of the I'm watching movies at a good rate. Cool. Yeah. So let's get into The Lady Vanishes. I noticed something when we, like the last couple of movie episodes, is that we, last week, we never gave like a synopsis for the last episode. And like Angel's Egg, I mean, it was kind of impossible to
synopsize. Yeah.
But I think we should be better about that, because if you haven't seen the movie, you won't even know what we're talking about. So
true.
The Lady Vanishes. This is the last good British Hitchcock picture. I think he released Jamaica Inn right after, which apparently was bad. I haven't seen it, but but The Lady Vanishes. And I think this is specifically David O. Selznick saw this and said, "Mr. Hitchcock, come to America. I will give you money."
Come to America.
Because that's what it was. Selznick signed him to a contract, and I guess, I don't know if loaned him out would be the word, but he had the rights and he like let him work for other studios.
Okay.
But for the first 5 to 10, I don't know exactly the length, but he was under contract for Selznick. But The Lady Vanishes is a bit of a spy. It's not really a thriller as much, because it's pretty funny. Like compared to 39 Steps, which we watched also from the podcast in our second ever episode, I saw it 109 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This one seems more comedic.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mystery, but like a funny mystery.
Yeah. It's more of a mystery than like
a thriller.
A spy thriller, yeah. But basically, they're in, I forgot what it was called, but it's a not real Central European country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's trying to get a train back to wherever they're going, to England, I guess. And a lady vanishes mysteriously.
The lady vanishes.
The lady. So this girl hits her head, goes to sleep, and when she wakes up, this lady she was traveling with isn't there. But no one believes her. They think that she's going crazy, and she's gonna have to find out if the lady was real, and if she was real, to find her again. What did you think of this one?
I liked it. I feel a little bit lukewarm about it, actually. I guess it was good. And I feel like most of the things that I didn't like about it, most of my complaints are kind of just products of the time that I should be more like willing to overlook. And also kind of just products of like being an older mystery. Or like, I feel like mystery is a genre that like has to constantly outdo itself to like stay
relevant.
You know what I mean? Because things just get less surprising, or like tropes get used over and over. So like nothing about the mystery element of this movie was like genuinely shocking in any sort of way, which is kind of all of the fun of a mystery is to be surprised. But that's not the movie's fault. Like because it's just old. It was probably very surprising to the first people who ever saw it. But at this point, if you've seen it, like a handful of modern mysteries, you know exactly like kind of where it's going. And so that was kind of not that fun, but you can't fault the movie for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But also I don't think I had enough like buy into the idea that like two randos could solve a spy mystery on a train. I don't really like this whole like concept of like, we're just two random ass people who don't know that much, and we just got sucked into this extremely high stakes spy mystery.
Yeah.
We're actually smarter than everyone involved. And we can crack this wide open. We can save some lives. Like I don't like that. I don't think it's fun. Also, I hated the male love interest from like the very first scene that he was
That's fair.
He's fucking obnoxious and like comes into her room, her hotel room, and won't leave her alone. And I was like, God damn it. I know
who is this guy?
She's gonna fall in love with him, and I'm just gonna be pissed about it for the whole movie. And then I was. So fair. Those are all my complaints. Other than those things, it was genuinely funny. I think that was probably my favorite thing. I laughed a couple of times. So it's cool that like the humor of it still held up, even if the mystery elements didn't quite for me. And it was fun. I was like engaged the whole time, you know. It was like genuinely entertaining, even if not shocking anymore.
Yeah.
So for the most part, I liked it.
Nice.
Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I feel like pretty much the same way, except my complaints are different. Okay. I want to make a point about the thing about they're just like regular people.
Yeah.
So that's a very Hitchcock thing. He does that in a lot of his movies. Even I feel like the 39 Steps is like that too.
Kind of, yeah, except for the main character of the 39 Steps is so much more likable and so much more clever from the beginning.
That is true, yeah. And also, in North by Northwest, the classic, like, that was like the James Bond before James Bond was a thing. Cary Grant in that movie is like an insurance salesman, and then all of a sudden he just becomes a spy and like it works. But so I think, I don't know, that doesn't bother me as much just because like Hitchcock is just like, well, what if an incredibly adept person is just working the wrong job and they don't realize it until a major spy plot erupts right in their lap. But I don't know. For me though, I love the first two acts of this movie and I thought it kind of fell apart at the end.
Mm.
I think I like the mystery part, even though like you do kind of know where it's going.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I felt that the importance wasn't on the mystery as much. It was like more on seeing how they would figure it out. You know, like, because he plants the clues for you, which I think
totally
add to like the tension and the suspense, because that's like how Hitchcock works. You know, like when she's writing her name on the window because it's loud, you're like, I already know this is going to come back later. So that whenever they're in the dining car, you're like, oh, I'm keeping an eye out for that because I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And like, that's like what Hitchcock does so well is like he plays with the expectations. So I think that was done very well here. And I liked that part.
That little piece. I thought that was pretty clever.
But for me though, once they figured it out and then they had to like resolve it all somehow, it kind of, I don't know, fell apart a little bit for me.
I agree. It got like a little bit too convenient.
Too convenient and a little bit ridiculous.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
But, and some unanswered questions too, like things are just left because there was the one guy on the train with the gun and then the lady gets off and then it works and then it was just never revisited that this guy is still there with a gun threatening. Yeah. Like it kind of just ties up, which is just how like movies were then.
Yeah.
But in other Hitchcock pictures that I've seen, there's less like dangling loose ends. It's more stuff that like, okay, I can assume that how it would get wrapped up and it would work out tidily, but there's like certain things that happen that just never get answered and get a little dismissed.
Yeah, totally.
That I was a little bit about. but I thought the beginning was great.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how you didn't know what was going on until about 20 to 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, I like that too.
Because that's something that I haven't really seen a whole lot of places before. The only example that I think of is in The Wages of Fear, which like the central premise is that they have to drive big trucks full of nitroglycerin through like the jungle, and if they hit a bump too big it'll all blow up.
Mm.
And so it's like this crazy tension stuff, but like the first 30 to 40 minutes of that movie has nothing to do with that. It's just people hanging out in town, and I didn't like that. But I think this one was like the perfect balance of like introducing all these people that'll be, you know, more or less relevant later, but not really kind of showing who the focus is, like what the actual plot is going to be.
Yeah.
Until they're already on the train. I thought that was really cool. I hadn't seen that too many places. I thought that was
really cool. I would agree with that. It did a really good job of like getting me on board, I guess, in terms of like my interest.
On board the train.
Yeah. Like I was intrigued right away. And then it kind of like spun itself in these directions that I didn't quite see coming for the first bit, as like it was being revealed that a mystery was afoot.
Yeah.
And the actual mystery was like a little bit lame compared to that.
Okay. Yeah. I gotcha. But yeah, I think that's why this one like stands out to me specifically, is that there's so many, there's like moving parts. And I guess that's why it was a little disappointing that they didn't, some of them didn't turn into anything, but some did. I don't know. It was funny how they focused on the two silly guys for most of the beginning.
I know.
And I, if I'm not mistaken, those same two characters show up in a movie, in another movie that I watched a little bit ago called Night Train to Munich.
That's funny.
I think they're the same Charters and Caldecott.
Wow, that's really funny.
Which is weird. I'll need to rewatch that and see, but I think they're the same, because I know it's like the same type, but I think it's literally the same characters, which is interesting.
Thanks.
But they're just, I think it's also like Hitchcock kind of poking fun at British people because they are kind of the worst.
It did feel like there was some political commentary kind of in the background, but it didn't really go anywhere. Unless maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention to that. But in the beginning, it felt like that was going to be more of a theme. One of them like made a comment or something. I feel like it was one of the silly dudes that made a comment that was like, I don't think a nation should be judged by their politics. Like kind of speaking about like the UK or something. And I was like, oh, I wonder where that's going to go. And it didn't go anywhere. At least I don't think it did, but maybe I'm just totally missing something.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out too, that this movie came out in 1938, which is like right before war broke out.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the Night Train to Munich is about like the beginning of World War II. So it's like, it was interesting to kind of think of those together because they're similar type movies where they're kind of like spy comedies. Like they don't take things very seriously, but there's still kind of political intrigue and stuff. But, and in that one, the two silly guys are like just in Germany when war breaks out and they need to get back, but everyone's kind of giving them a hard time because they're at war now.
Yeah,
because it's like they're still civilians that are just going back to Britain. So I don't know. I think there's some stuff about that because tensions are kind of high at this point in time. But like, I think at least when this was made, maybe not by the time it was released, you know, things hadn't really broken out as much yet. So I think there's like a little bit of that there, but it doesn't really focus on it. So it's, I don't know. I kind of don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, the two leads, the guy specifically. Yeah, who thought that character intro was a good idea? Like,
I don't know, dude.
That's
so annoying.
Because he's like not as bad when they're actually on the train. It's like playful banter, whatever. Like,
yeah, he gets better. Uh-huh.
But that's just such a weird way to introduce him.
I know. I felt the same way.
I don't know.
I have never liked this whole like enemies to lovers type of storyline like at all. But this one was like not even really that. It was just like, here's this extremely rude and annoying man. Very invasive. And now we're going to be friends. And we're going to like solve this mystery together. Yeah. And I just was like, why? Why
not just make
him like friendly and supportive from the get-go?
Yeah. He's like, my dad told me, my mom told me never to leave a woman in need or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. Now they're just cool, okay. I guess.
Fine. Yeah. Stupid. I didn't like it. I honestly didn't like the main girl character either, but I don't really know why. It honestly might just be that voice that all women in the 30s did that I just hate. I don't know.
Oh, and there was actually another point I was going to make about how, all the British people gang up together at the end. That's another thing that just felt like that felt weird to me watching it. And then thinking about it later seemed political in some way, you know, like at the end, when it kind of, it turns into like the six British people that are all around. Like,
right.
Okay. This is like our thing. We have to, I don't know. This is a very British movie because it's like, I think a lot of it is about the patriotism and that sort of stuff, and I think it especially shines through there at the end when it turns into that.
Yeah.
So,
what did you think of the main girl character? What's her Iris?
I think so.
Yeah,
that sounds right. I didn't really think too much of it, honestly.
Yeah.
I think she was just kind of there. She didn't have like. I think you Hitchcock does this a few times, like North by Northwest is another example where you're on their side because you believe them when no one else does. You're like, why can't anyone see this? So I thought, but I thought it was done utilized by the filmmaking and not necessarily the performance.
Okay.
I thought she was kind of just there. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. She was just kind of there. She didn't really have any personality traits. Mm-hmm. She was just kind of annoying to me. But again, that might just be that voice.
The voice.
What is that? The transatlantic.
Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah. And like the high pitch. I just hate that. It is truly my least favorite part about watching old movies is that voice.
I thought the old lady, Miss Freud, was like annoying, but in a fun way.
I thought she was super annoying too. And to me, she felt so patronizing to Iris the whole time. And then Iris hits her head and wakes up. And I kind of thought that where the movie was going to go from there was going to be Iris, like, just relieved to have this old lady away from her. Just be like, oh, thank God she's gone. But instead, it was like, my friend, my best friend, who I remember every single detail about what she looked like and what she was wearing. And I was like, huh? Like, I felt like there was no bond between the two of them.
I don't know. I thought it was just funny.
Yeah.
I thought she was just the things that she said, like, who is this lady?
Yeah.
It turned out to be a spy.
Yeah. Who would have thunk? So, yeah, I guess I feel it's definitely not. It's probably my least favorite Hitchcock movie that we have watched so far.
It's just been the three, right? Just 39 Steps and Rebecca.
And Notorious.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because I had you watch that. I had you watch that for a challenge.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it for the plot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I would say this is my
Notorious is my favorite out of all of them.
Mine, too. I'd probably do it. Notorious, Rebecca. 39 Steps.
Same for me.
Nice. Yeah, I need to watch like your favorite Hitchcocks now so I can really know.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Rear Window and Vertigo, I think.
Yeah. They're actually doing a special showing of Rear Window at my theater that I'm going to go to. So,
yeah, you got it. You got to go. When is that? I'm going to go to that.
I think it's next month, but I'll text you. It's always on a Tuesday. That's when they do their special showings of old movies. So
okay, I have. I usually work on Tuesdays because student night. Since it's the summer, it won't be student night. Isn't going to be as fun. So
that's so funny because it's also student night at the Lyric. That's why they do these like old movies and tickets are only $5 every Tuesday.
Cool. Yeah, no, I would love to do that.
Okay, cool. I'll let you know when it is then.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth between Vertigo and Rear Window, but I think it's pretty firmly Rear Window now.
Okay, cool.
You got it, but I think besides those two, I think Notorious is pretty high up there for me.
Okay,
I have it all listed out somewhere, but
I remember.
No,
very soon.
It's Vertigo, it's Rear Window, Vertigo, and then Strangers on a Train, which isn't like as universally hailed, but I think it is wonderful.
Okay,
those are the only three Hitchcocks that I give 10 out of 10 to. So.
What's your least favorite Hitchcock right now?
The Wrong Man.
Wow.
I talked about this the last episode.
Yeah.
Probably that one. No, actually, I've seen some of his silent movies.
Oh.
Some of his silent movies were pretty bad.
He just has so many damn movies.
He did a lot. He kept busy.
Much. Yeah.
Do you have a rating for this one?
I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. I was maybe between a second.
Maybe a 6.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was between a 7 and an 8, and I eventually I logged it as an 8 because I really liked the beginning of it, and it was like things that I hadn't really seen. But now that we've talked about it, I'm gonna bump it to a 7.
I felt pretty strong about giving it a 7 until we just talked about The Northman, actually, which I feel really strong about giving that one a 7, and I liked this one less than that. So
I see.
I'm gonna give it a 6.
I see. Yeah, I'll move this one to a 7. I think the ending swayed me more than anything else. Like, my gut reaction was a 7 to this, but then I was like, I had such a blast at the beginning of it. I mean, it doesn't really matter that much, but I think I'll let the ending sway me more, because I think at the end of the movie
it really had me like the scenes after we leave the hotel and it seems like the annoying guy might be out of the picture and we're like just getting involved in the mystery and like everybody is essentially gaslighting this woman into thinking this person was never on the train. That was fun. I really did have fun with that. And for a brief moment there, I was like, I think I'm going to really like this movie. And then I didn't. So that was like the only moment that I felt like that in. And then I was like, never mind.
Yeah. I kept that feeling a little longer. I thought it was silly that they trusted the doctor guy so easily. I was like, okay, if you're
not.
I don't know. That was a little iffy.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I just remembered that I have 4 10-star Hitchcock movies, the 3 I mentioned, and also North by Northwest.
Oh.
Because that one's such a fun, like, I think you need to see that one too. That's either, I think, for most people, even though yours is the 39 steps, the first Hitchcock movie they watch should be either Rear Window or North by Northwest.
Okay.
Those are the most...
The first Hitchcock movie I ever see in a theater will be Rear Window. Mm-hmm. So that means something to me.
There you go. Cool. I think that could be about it for The Lady Vanished. I'm glad we watched it, though. I think it was...
I'm too.
And this is like the only really important British one that I haven't seen. So I think I've seen all of Hitchcock's most important movies now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we watched it too. I like enjoy watching Hitchcock movies and like just getting a better understanding of him and stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's such an interesting guy. And this was a big thing in some of the readings for the class I was in, mm-hmm. is that he feels like the first, probably the oldest director that still feels really accessible, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, he was making stuff in the silent. Like he was making a handful of silent pictures. Like he was active since the 20s, you know?
And that's crazy.
You know, people still watch like Psycho. Yeah. Feels like a very modern movie, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Just the way that he made stuff like is really, really timeless in that people will still find it accessible forever, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And I think they said that it was, you know, he's probably like maybe the oldest director that it feels that way about, you know? So.
Thanks.
I think it's cool. He's such an interesting character.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad we watched it. It was just okay.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
That would be the description.
Cool.
Awesome. So let's see. Next week we can do the book club. I don't know if I'm going to finish the book by then, but I'm going to do my best.
Okay. If you don't finish it, do you want to push book club?
Yeah.
Any week? Okay.
I think I'll get it done. I'll just have to put some pressure on myself because I'm genuinely enjoying reading it. Like once I start reading it, I don't find it tough to get through.
Yeah.
It's just when I'm having the free time, I just sometimes am not reading.
Sure.
So as long as I prioritize it this week, I'm sure I'll be able to get through it.
Cool.
An interesting book for sure. I'm excited to talk about it.
I am too. I'm really excited to hear yours and Aubrey's thoughts.
Cool. So that'll be next week.
Yeah. Probably. It feels like, I don't know. It just feels like you could say a ton of different stuff about this one. You know, like some of the books we've read, I feel like even if they're good, there's less to discuss. Or like some of them, like when we read 100 Years of Solitude, I knew that we were all just going to be like, this is the greatest book ever.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like, I don't really know.
No,
there's
idea,
much to be said and maybe some debate. So I'm excited about book club.
Cool. Yeah. So that'll probably be next week.
Yeah.
If we don't need to plan on it because I'm going to plan on finishing it. If I end up not, we can ad lib on the fly. I don't want to make any plans now because I'm just going to read it. So cool. That'll be next week. That means all that is left to do for now is to recommend an album. Do you have an album to recommend this week?
You know, this was actually tough for me because yesterday three whole albums that I'm extremely excited about came out and I was like, which will I recommend first? I'll probably recommend all three of them over the course of the next 3 weeks.
Sounds
but
good.
I will stick with my, you know, tried and true absolute most favorite, which is the Black Keys brand new album called Dropout Boogie.
I didn't know that was out yet.
It came out yesterday.
Cool.
It is so fun. I just love the Black Keys so goddamn much. Like they can just do absolutely no wrong ever to me. But right now they're both like dads, and yeah. That's kind of the theme of this album, is that they're just, I think that they're like recognizing that they've been in this business for so long and now they're like kind of getting old and they're dads and like they're just like these geezers, and they just like totally played into that with this, and like they're just kind of like, it's a very youthful album but in a very like self-aware and almost ironic way, and I think it's just adorable. Like it's not my favorite. I don't think that any Black Keys album that comes out will be another like Brothers or Turn Blue or El Camino. But like, that's fine. Like, I don't know. They've just had such an impactful career to me. And I'm totally cool with them just having fun for like the rest of the time that they want to be in music. And it seems like that's what they're going to do. And I kind of just love it. So like, I'd say if you like really loved Let's Rock, this is almost like an extension of the same type of sound, but even more funny. And I like that about it. And
I was actually about to say, I realized the other day how much I like Let's Rock. Because I was looking to put some stuff on the daily, and I was like looking through, like, we could use some more Black Keys, and I just like throw it into the waiting list. And I was looking through, and I was like, I really like most of the songs on this album. It like snuck up on me because when it came out, I like listened to it, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. It was like a pretty good. And then now I went back and listened to it, and I was like, yeah, I love like most of these songs.
I felt the exact same way, and I honestly felt that way about Delta Cream too. At first I was like, yeah, they're like good covers. It's a good like blues album. And then I don't know. Whenever I go back, I'm like, this album is so good. And I seriously feel that way about like the Black Keys are such a truly timeless band to me. And I just seriously love them so infinitely. So I highly recommend Dropout Boogie. I really think it's super, super fun. And I'm so happy it came out on like yesterday, my very first day of summer break, it's a great summer rock album.
Awesome. Would you say that the Black Keys, they're your favorite band, right?
Yes.
I'm going to recommend an album from my favorite band.
Nice.
Which is Car Seat Headrest, which I saw live on Tuesday and I've already talked about. But the first song they played came out of nowhere to me. It's one that I put on the daily recently. It's on the monthly right now. And it's not a very well-known one, I thought. It has like around 300,000 plays on Spotify is all.
Okay.
And so they played that for their first song. And I was like, is this real? Is this actually happening? It was such a cool thing. At the concert, they lost their merchandise. Like something happened. So they didn't have merch there. But they had a QR code to buy it online. So I bought the shirt, which is like based on that song. Okay. So I don't know if they're probably just in their set list for every tour.
Cool.
Every show on the tour. And that's just such a surprise. So I wanted to recommend the album that it came from, which is called Nervous Young Man, which came out in 2013, I think. But this is technically not a double album because I think it wasn't ever released physically. So it can't be like a double if it's, I don't know. But it is 20 songs and 2 hours long. It is a beast of a thing. And there is so much stuff on it. It includes 2 14-minute plus songs, which are both awesome. A handful of like instant classics, including the one that they played at the show. And then a handful of like weird stuff that is kind of a bit out there and that I maybe didn't like as much, but it's just such a mixed bag. It's such a like a huge thing that I think just gets overlooked because there's so much there, but there's so many good songs that like feel integral to the band. I don't know. It's like, it's a weird one, but I think more people should listen to it because I feel like a lot, even if they like the band, don't know that it exists. So it's called Nervous Young Man.
Awesome.
Yeah. So many good songs. I don't know. I just love Car Seat Headrest because they have so much, like he did so much before they were even a band that Will Toledo did just like by himself.
Yeah.
And there's like, it seems like there's just more and more to discover. And it's like, only now have I reached a point after like listening to them for a lot, for like a good 4 or 5 years, that I feel like I know most of their catalog. Like I knew the whole set list.
Yeah.
At the show, which is fun. I was writing it down in my notes during the show. I'm like, and I knew all the songs, which is cool. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So that was satisfying. But yeah, Nervous Young Man. Everyone, check it out.
I'll check it out.
And yeah, you should. There's a lot of good ones on there. Cool. I think that's it for us for this week. We'll be doing book club next time around. It's called Never Let Me Go. I forgot the guy's name. I have it right here. By Kazu Ishiguro. And yeah, it'll be a fun time. So go. I think I want to do a thing for mailbag next time is that we ask the people a question and then read some answers. I think that could be fun.
I think that is fun.
Yeah, I would like to pose the question that we answered last time, which is movies that seem well regarded that just don't do it for you for whatever reason.
Yeah, I would love to
hear. I want to hear some opinions on that. So we'll put that in the mailbag. So if you want to answer that or get involved in any other way, check us out on the Instagram at Speaking English Pod with no spaces. And I'll be putting up that mailbag sometime in the next week. And we'll see how it goes.
Cool. I'm excited. Yeah.
Alrighty, that's it for us. Have a great week, everyone. Do great things. Enjoy the summer. Things are looking up.
Things are looking up.
Happy 111. You're all angels.
You are all angels. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye now.